And please stand with me in honor of the Holy Scriptures as we read the birth of our Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Will you pray with me, please? We are not going to teach verse by verse through this passage today. We are going to focus on one word in this passage, and the word is peace. Would you pray that I would do a great job of explaining what the Bible says about peace today? Pray for me. Would you pray for yourself that God would open your heart and soften your heart, and that as I open the scriptures, the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart through the Holy Scriptures, and Christ would do his work in your heart. If you don't know the Lord this morning, pray that this message would change your life. If you do know the Lord this morning, pray that this message would build you up on our most holy faith. Take a few moments to pray for the people seated next to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, glorify your name. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Hide me behind Savior's cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, but the world is not a place of peace. The world is in fact broken. The world is in fact chaos. The world is in fact a place of pain. It is a place of hurt. And what makes Christmas our favorite holiday is because God has sent his Son into this broken, hurting world to bring peace. Christmas is a time where we celebrate Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ, when his birth was announced, the angels came and said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." We have good news this morning, and it's better than any present you will ever get under the tree. We have good news this morning, and the good news is what the angel said: today in the city of David, there has been born to you a rescuer. That's what the word Savior means. Into this world of chaos and into this world of pain, a Savior has been born. And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. Do you hunger for peace this morning? Do you hunger for peace in your own life? Do you hunger for peace in your family? Do you hunger for peace in your community? Do you hunger for peace in this broken, sinful, chaotic world? Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we celebrate Him this morning. We celebrate Him this morning. Peace in the Bible is not simply the absence of war. It is more than that. I forgot my water. Peace is not simply the absence of war. It is more than that. Peace is not simply relational healing between you and your neighbor. Peace is not simply relational healing between you and God. It is primarily that, but it is more than that. Peace in the Bible is the Hebrew word shalom. And it is well-being. It is wholeness. It is completeness. It is rest. It is freedom from care. It is safety. It is trust. Peace in the Bible is not primarily an emotion. It is not primarily a feeling. Peace is real. It is a real, actual condition. Rest, freedom from care, safety. This is the Hebrew word shalom, and this is the peace that Jesus Christ offers the world. It includes peace of mind, but it is so much more than that. Number one in your notes: God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. Carrie, your selection of El Shaddai was absolutely wonderful. What a beautiful, beautiful song to sing on this Christmas Sunday. El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elyon, God the highest of all gods. Amen. But He has another name. He has many names. Look behind me at Judges chapter 6. Behind me on the screen. There's your, go ahead and back up, Ian. That's your Hebrew word for peace. Shalom. Absolutely beautiful word. Now, Ian, in the verse. The Lord said to them, shalom to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. Praise His holy name. To this day, it is still there. Forgive me for not being able to pronounce that. Peace is a gift of God. Look what the Lord says to His chosen people in the Old Testament. Isaiah 54, verse 10, behind me on the screen. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of shalom will not be shaken, God says to His people Israel. Peace is a gift from God. God is the God of peace. God is the creator of peace. God is the giver of peace. And without God, there can be no peace on this earth or in your life. Look what it says in the Psalms, Psalm 4, 6 through 8. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In shalom I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. God is the God of peace. He is the creator of peace. He is the giver of peace. Peace comes from God. Peace is the result of the Holy Spirit having control of your life. And disobedience to God will always result in a lack of peace and a loss of that peace. Number two in your notes, Christ is our peace. And he gives peace to the world. You're in Luke chapter 2. Please turn forward in the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 2. You know that Paul was the preacher to the Gentiles, just as Peter was the preacher to the Jews. Peter brought the gospel to the Jews. Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is quite simply someone who is not a Jew. And I'm going to assume that most of you in this room are not ethnically Jewish people. Some of you may be. If you're here this morning, we are honored with your presence. We say shalom to you in the name of Messiah Jesus Christ. If you are a Gentile here this morning, I say shalom to you in the name of Messiah Jesus Christ. But you know that the Jewish people were originally God's chosen people. And look at what Paul has to say to those of us who are not Jews. This is amazing, people. This is an amazing revelation to Gentiles in the Old Testament, to Gentiles in the New Testament who are thinking, wait a minute, if I want to be God's people, I've got to be a Jew. And I've got to be circumcised. And I've got to keep the law of Moses. I'm not a Jew, therefore I'm excluded. Look at the good news for us from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore remember that formerly you, that's every Gentile, formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Look at that. We Gentiles, which is most of us in this room, without Christ, no hope, excluded, strangers, but Christ is our peace. Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, Gentiles, I proclaim this to you, Trinity Baptist Church. Look at this. But now, in Christ, you, who were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That is why we celebrate Christmas. For he himself, that is Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. We Gentiles have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ Jesus has brought Jews and Gentiles together and reconciled us both to God. Look at verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Christ, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, Gentiles, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Christ is our peace. We have access to God through Christ. We are no longer strangers, Gentiles. We are citizens of the kingdom through Christ Jesus. We are part of God's family through Christ Jesus. We are God's household through Christ Jesus. We are children of God, adopted through Christ Jesus. Christ is our peace. I want to give you some challenges for this Christmas season and for 2018. Challenge number one. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and mind. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and mind. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. Hopefully you know it well, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. This is not the Hebrew word shalom, because this is the New Testament. This is the Greek word eirene, but they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. When Christ is in your heart, ruling and reigning, the result is peace. So surrender to the Holy Spirit and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and mind. Psalm 119, I'll bring the word shalom back. Those who love your law have great shalom, and nothing causes them to stumble. Number two, let the peace of Christ rule in your relationships. Let the peace of Christ rule in your relationships. Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice you're to preserve the unity of the Spirit. You don't have to create it. You don't have to invent it. God did that. We're called to preserve it. The Christmas season can be a very, very hard time for some people. It can be a time of joy for every single Christian, but circumstantially, often it can be very challenging. Even in Christian homes, there is division, there is anger, there is bitterness, there is hurt feelings, and often you get a lot of people in the home together, and those hurts come up, and it can be a time of pain. For some people, the Christmas season is the hardest time all year for family relationships. Look at Colossians 3 behind me on the screen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wouldn't you agree with me that that is a wonderful passage to meditate on this Christmas season? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. If you're like me, you like watching sports. And sports are really big this time of year, Christmas and New Year's. The NFL is getting going and the playoffs are soon. And I like to really watch football games. And I notice when I'm watching a football game, there is one team with one uniform and one team with another uniform. And I can clearly tell this team is on this this guy is on this team, and this guy is on this team. You don't have to look hard because of the uniforms to see who's on what team. But as I'm watching the game, there's a third group of people that don't seem to be on either team. They have these black and white striped shirts, and they're there, and they're running around, and they don't seem to be on either team, but they seem to be in charge. And they're called the referee, or the umpire. In the Greek culture, they had the Olympics, way back in Bible times, and the Olympics had referees and umpires, and they were called this word, rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart is the Greek word for umpire. And my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, is this. When you're in your home this Christmas season, and when bitterness and anger arises, either on your part or someone else's, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You may not be able to control what the other person does. In fact, Paul in Romans says, insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You're not going to be able to control what the other person does. But when you're in your home today, tomorrow, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, with family and friends, there may be hurt feelings, there may be broken relationships, there may be years of pain and hurt there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. This world is broken. This world is in complete chaos. This world is in disorder. But we can let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Romans 6:8, behind me on the screen. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Trinity Baptist, letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart is much more than just allowing him to rule in your conflicts. If you and I are truly letting the peace of Christ rule in our heart on a daily basis, conflicts can be avoided before they start. If I'm letting bitterness and anger and hurt feelings and selfishness rule in my heart, then when someone responds to me in an unkind way, a conflict starts. But if I'm letting the peace of Christ rule in my heart on a daily basis, what other people say or do simply doesn't get to me. And I can be a light in my home this Christmas season, and so can you. Number 3, Let the peace of God guard your heart as you rejoice in all circumstances, forsake anxiety, and be faithful in prayer. Here's a famous verse about peace I'm sure you've heard. It's behind me on the screen, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard is an excellent English translation for this Greek word. It is a military term, to guard. Let the peace of Christ guard your heart. Rejoice in all circumstances. Forsake anxiety and be faithful in prayer. Number 4. Ask the God of peace to sanctify you, equip you for every good work, and grant you his peace. As you spend time with family this holiday season, start the morning in prayer. Start the morning in prayer and say, God, you are the God of peace. Grant me your peace today as I interact with people in my home. I'm going to give you 4 prayers you could pray, because as you know, praying the scriptures is a wonderful, wonderful way to pray. If you're looking for what to pray in the morning, I'm going to give you 4 suggestions. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can pray that every morning before you start your day. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an excellent prayer to pray for your children and grandchildren every morning. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. And finally, Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's 4 great prayers for you to start your day with. Number 5. Bring the peace of Christ to broken people. Bring the peace of Christ to broken people. Some of you at the ladies' Bible study might remember Kenny. Kenny spent about a week with us here. I want to thank Ben. Where's Brother Ben? I want to thank Ben for working with Kenny all week. Kenny, Ben and I, by God's grace, were able to get Kenny admitted into a Christian men's home yesterday, and he is there now. He will be there hopefully as long as he needs. And by God's grace, Trinity Baptist Church has brought the peace of Christ to Kenny. And I know some of you were praying for him. That's what Christmas is all about, amen? Bring the peace of Christ to hurting and broken people around you, because this world, remember what shalom means, wholeness, completeness, rest, safety, trust, the absence of conflict with neighbors, the absence of conflict with God, a healed relationship with family members, and reconciliation to God himself. This world does not have that. It is a broken, chaotic place of pain and hurt. But we are Christ's ambassadors, and we are called to bring that peace. Look what Jesus said to his disciples as he was leaving. I'm sorry, Enan, you got the Romans one? Bring that up. This is the world. Destruction and misery is in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, look what Jesus said to his disciples in John 20. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." We have the answer to this broken world. Well, maybe you're here today and you just came with a parent or a grandparent or another family member and you don't have this peace in your heart. Maybe you're here today and you don't have this peace because you don't have Christ in your heart. I want to be very clear with you today because I truly care about you. Your relationship with God is broken. Like me and like every single other person in this room at one time or the other, our relationship with God is broken. We are sinners. And without Christ, you stand guilty before a holy God. And you are not ready to meet him when you die. The sin that I have committed, and I have committed many. The evil thoughts that I have thought, the evil words that I have said, the evil deeds that I have done separated David Gordon from a holy God. But when I repented and put my faith in Jesus Christ offers me forgiveness, and God forgives me for all of my sins, past, present, and future. But if you don't have Jesus, you are not forgiven. You have no peace with God. If you haven't been paying attention to any of the scriptures that I've shared, please give me just 2 more minutes and look behind me on the screen at Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we who have put our faith in Jesus Christ have what? Peace with God. That's Christmas. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still hopeless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure if Christ is in your heart, I offer you peace today. I offer you peace. You can be reconciled to God. Your relationship with God can be fixed. You can be in Jesus Christ. You can be a child of God. You can be assured of your salvation. And you can live in paradise forever with all of those who are in Christ forever and ever and ever. Salvation is a free gift that Christ came to offer by dying on the cross for us. So if you do not have Christ in your heart, me and the elders will be over here for just a few moments. Please come and talk to us that we may explain it a little further. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning in the Prince of Peace. And we pray that we would let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, both now and forever. In whose name we pray. Amen.